So I think when we ask the question, are circles woo-woo? The answer is kind of, it depends.
Welcome to the Circle Holding Podcast with me, Julia Davis.
And me, Tessa Venuti-Sanderson. We are the co-authors of the book Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles.
We would love for you to join us for free talks, question and answer sessions, all about the art of holding circle. You can find these at circleholding.org. This episode comes from our massive frustration before we decided to write the Circle Holding book, because we could only find books that either had a huge amount of ceremony in them around circles with beautiful pictures on the front and that were really full of deliciousness, or we found big corporate guidelines which were very much focused on coaching or business development, which were really plain. And what we wanted to do is talk about how much variety there is in circle holding. It doesn't have to be woo-woo, but it also doesn't have to be dry and professional.
Yeah, I think circle facilitation is such an amazing tool for all sorts of different demographics, for all sorts of different interests. It can just be used with any group. So I think the important thing is not to pigeonhole it. And you don't even need to call what you're doing a circle. If your group of people wouldn't respond well to circle and would immediately go to thinking, well, that sounds very wishy-washy or very hippie or whatever it is, the terminology they would use, you can call it something different. You could call it a menopause cafe or a book club or a group or a hub.
Yeah, I think that is a really key thing. Sometimes some of the people we've interviewed for the podcast have gone, do we hold circle? And they hold circle all the time. And they adhere to so many of the guidelines of circle, and they don't call it that themselves. So you don't have to name it in order to do it. And what we really wanted to show you is that there can be really simple circles. So an idea of a simple circle might be something that Tessa runs regularly, is the simple mum and baby circle. It's not that simple. It can be quite messy, but really it just involves the people turning up. Can you imagine me asking a mum with a baby to bring along something to help with a ritual? They can just about remember their baby carrier and them, you know, their milk or whatever else they need to lug along with them to that occasion. And something like a grief circle. A grief circle could be full of ceremony if you want to hold it that way. But often there are grief circles that are run on a regular basis, maybe run by charities, that are just a space for people to rock up and share their experience of grief. And again, that's a group of people who may not be in a space for ritual. They may just simply need a place to be heard and to speak.
Yeah, I was just going to add about the mum and baby circle that it really is a very simple version of a talking circle, because it's a nice warm space that's accessible with a buggy or pram. It's a circle of chairs with tables so that we can keep hot tea up out of the way of baby's grasp. And they're playing in the middle. There isn't a centerpiece. There isn't set words that we say. There's just some questions around issues that mums want to talk about. Hopefully it's a really welcoming space. And that's quite different from what I'd call a kind of medium level circle in terms of the ceremony and things like that, where, for example, with a menstrual cycle awareness circle or a red tent, you might be meeting regularly. And so you might have some words that you use every time to open the circle, that kind of bring a feeling of familiarity. You're like, oh yes, this is how we always open it. And that can feel really nice. And you might have a centerpiece that is a nice focus for the eyes as you're talking. You might ask people to bring something along to add to that centerpiece, so they feel a kind of sense of belonging and a part of creating that space.
I mean, I was just thinking about a breathwork circle that I held in my studio, and the person who was holding it was new to facilitation. And just to help her make it a little bit more special, I had a lovely blanket that was a really beautiful centerpiece that we could use. She had oracle cards, so that was a place to place out the oracle cards in front of everyone. There was music that was used. So there was just those little elements more. If you're bringing in music, if you're bringing in using something as a centerpiece, It's just that one stage different to having a group of chairs in a circle, or everyone sitting on the floor in a circle, or even being online and having all the boxes in place. Just doing one particular thing to make it a little bit more special. And I was thinking about perimenopause circles that I've run, and the fact that if you invite somebody to wear a particular item of clothing, or if you invite them to bring along something that's very special to them, starting to bring in elements like that starts to change it from it being a plain talking circle to being something that's just that little bit more thought through in terms of maybe something that you might call ritual. And especially those rite and passage circles. Maybe if you're talking about somebody coming to something in order to experience a transition, that's where light ritual might come in.
Yeah, as you were talking, I was thinking how just those little things of maybe lighting a candle, if it's an online circle, you can easily still do that at home, or putting on a special piece of clothing makes it a special space. And then to make it a sacred space kind of is the next step up. And I was thinking of when I've been to circles that have been led by a shaman and they're invoking the elements, and it's quite sort of formulaic in a way. There's a particular way of addressing people, and that can be part of the specialness of it.
The idea of bringing ceremony in doesn't have to be woo-woo. That just brought to mind Gather the Women, and they start their circles in a particular way by invoking the idea of why that organization was created in the first place. It has the use of sound for when different people speak. There are lots of ritualized elements to it. Yet it doesn't feel woo-woo, but it was really interesting when I interviewed them because they were one of the first people to come to me to say people have called them witches and that there was a level of fear around the circle they were holding because of the imposed view by others that what they were doing was woo-woo.
And I was thinking you were talking about rites of passage before. I think the type of circle I've run myself, where there's been an element of ceremony, is in the celebration days for girls, because towards the end of the event, there's a really special time where the mums present something to their daughter that they've created themselves. And it's so beautiful. It's very touching. There are often tears and lots of hugs. And often this feeling of ceremony can be missing in a lot of people's lives, and to be able to bring it back in can be something incredibly special.
Yeah, and the idea of witches makes people maybe think about whether it's anti-religion or it doesn't quite meet the way that they live their lives or you might live your life. But actually, ritual isn't like that necessarily. Sometimes it is, but often it isn't. It's just something that makes you feel that little bit more special. I was thinking about a really basic ritual that we've done in training courses that we've run, and both of us have experienced in circles that we've been to. And it's the thread ceremony. Often it's a red thread, but it can be any other kind of thread, where all you do with that is so simple as you have a piece of thread and each person wraps it around another person's wrist and then cuts it off. And then you've got a little memory of having been in a space with someone else. It's definitely a ritual. Often we sing song as we're doing it, but it's very simple. And then you've got that reminder of the circle that you've been part of that can last for months afterwards.
So I think when we ask the question, are circles woo-woo? The answer is kind of, it depends. It depends on your worldview. It depends if you're a facilitator on, who your demographic is. Do you want a very sort of simple circle? Do you want it to be really elaborate? And I think my key advice for people would be, if you're not sure whether a circle you've seen advertised is for you or not, email the facilitator or send them a text, ring them up, and just ask them, can you explain a little bit more about how your circle works? What's going to happen? And that way you'll be able to not have wild expectations or, worry that it's going to be a really unnerving experience.
And if you're looking to running a circle yourself, you might think of it in terms of well, actually, would I like to run something in the lunch hour at work with a load of colleagues? And then it might be really simple. Otherwise, you might be thinking, how amazing would it be if once a week or once a month I put on special clothes, I lit a candle, some level of ceremony. And if that makes your heart sing, then do that. We tend to attract the people who want the same as we do. So if you want something that's full of ceremony, you're likely to attract other people who do as well. And if you want something really simple, simply a space to talk and be listened to without interruption, the likelihood is that there are other people out there who want the same.
I think it's a life lesson, isn't it? That you don't have to please everybody.
Welcome to the Circle Holding Podcast with me, Julia Davis.
And me, Tessa Venuti Sanderson. We are the co-authors of the book Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles.
We would love for you to join us for free talks, question and answer sessions, all about the art of holding circle. You can find these at circleholding.org.